He was a little man, about 5'5". In his 60s, rather tubby. Enjoyed his drinks and his smokes. An unlikely hero, perhaps, but in the dark days of the 20th century, he helped save Britain. And he was one of the biggest mass murderers in history. Stalin was his party name. Stalin wasn't an intellectual like Lenin and the Bolshevik elite. His doting mother wanted him to become a priest, but young Stalin was expelled from seminary. He found his true calling as a revolutionary bandit in the dying years of Tsarist rule. His specialty was bank robberies. In one heist in Tbilisi, he and his gang seized a quarter of a million rubles and left around 40 guards and bystanders dead. But Stalin was a crook with a cause. The proceeds of this and other raids helped fund the Bolsheviks in their bid for power. After the revolution in 1917, Stalin concealed his ambitions behind a facade of dull reliability. A backroom boy, not a big hitter. He was made general secretary of the party, sort of keeper of the card indexes. Neither he nor his administrative job appeared to pose a threat to rivals. But slowly, carefully, Stalin began accumulating power. Stalin made a career out of being underestimated. Behind the unimpressive exterior, this was a man with a sharp mind, a formidable memory, and a capacity to get to the heart of any problem. Unlike other dictators, Stalin wasn't a great talker, but he was a good listener, skilled at reading the tone and the thrust of a conversation while disguising what he himself really thought. At meetings, he would say little, waiting for his moment, while doodling obsessively. This is one of Stalin's doodles. Hard lines, sharp angles, wolf snouts. A sinister glimpse behind the calm, modest exterior into a mind that was savage, vindictive, often paranoid. Here was a gangster, a street thug, but with a strategic brain and absolutely no respect for human life. In the power struggle after Lenin's death in 1924, Stalin employed his gangster logic to get rid of his rivals. He cleverly shifted his political allegiances, allying with the right to eliminate the left, Trotsky, Zinoviev, and then tacking leftward to kill off the right, Rykov, Bukharin. And in the 1930s, Stalin stitched up the loyalists and close officials who'd helped him rise, subjecting thousands to macabre show trials, torture, and death. Stalin had learnt that a well-timed beating or bullet could get him what he wanted. Nowhere was this lesson more brutally applied than in his handling of the army. Stalin was haunted by history. In particular, how Napoleon Bonaparte had exploited the French Revolution to jump from corporal to emperor. Determined to weed out any upstart Bonapartist in his army, Stalin appointed a new class of political commissars to watch over his officers. And he purged hundreds of progressively minded generals, including Mikhail Tukhachevsky, a charismatic early exponent of tank warfare. The confession of treason extracted from Tukhachevsky was handed to Stalin, spattered with blood. The Soviet leader was utterly unrepentant. Who's going to remember all this riffraff in 10 or 20 years? No one. Nobody was safe, except Stalin. And he controlled the surviving members of his inner circle through raw fear. Men like his foreign minister, Molotov. Western diplomats called him stone-ass because he was so stubborn. But in private, Molotov was totally under Stalin's thumb. When Stalin had his Jewish wife Polina thrown in jail, Molotov joined the rest of the Politburo in voting for her imprisonment. Stalin's oldest buddy was Voroshilov, a former metal worker who liked dressing up in military uniforms. Good company over a few drinks, but really rather thick, and no threat. Beria was head of Stalin's secret police. He liked to keep his hand in by doing some of the torture himself using a truncheon. Then he relaxed by listening to records of Rachmaninoff or raping young women. But Stalin liked Beria because he was a coward who never challenged the boss. Stalin had created an apparently unassailable position at the pinnacle of an autocratic state. But of course, that system had a fundamental weakness. It depended on one man, on his strengths, but also on his whims and neuroses. A serious misjudgment by Stalin could plunge his servile regime into chaos. And that's what happened with a vengeance when war came in June 1941.